APAI's program director will be hired. This committee is open to non-LSB staff and listener applicants. The LSB will elect two of each to serve on the committee at an in-person meeting. If you'd like to have a role in selecting WPAI's next program director and wish to be considered for election to this committee, please fill out the application form that's available on WBAI.org. You have to email the form to the two email addresses listed at the bottom of the application and do so no later than August 5th. Remember, go to WBAI.org, then follow the instructions for downloading and filling out the application form. Why not do it today?
Hi, this is Alec Baldwin, and you're tuned to WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
Anything can happen.
Support WBAI, Peace and Justice Radio in New York.
Anything can happen.
Good morning. Next up, The Morning Show.
Good morning for WBAI in New York. I'm Linda Perry. Attacks against Planned Parenthood continue.
Welcome to The Morning Show on WBAI, New York 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. Today we are having our summer membership drive, and we are missing our usual co-host, Michael G. Haskins, who is on a much-needed vacation. And so today this is Pam Brown, your Tuesday host, as always, although I'm back. After a brief hiatus, which we're going to get into, and I'm here in the station with Jeannie Hopper, who you all know from the Liquid Sound Lounge. So next up, we're going to have the news. And Jeannie, what do we have in store for listeners today?
Well, being that it's our summer membership drive, we've got some special treats. Fran Luck of Joy of Resistance kicked it off this past week during her show Thursday evening. We're going to go a little more in depth. There is citywide, but it's three museums that are exhibiting around the Young Lords. We're going to go deep into that.
I am really excited about that because it's one of those things where I'm really excited to learn this history.
One other thing, Pam, we actually have a super history here at WBAI. Later on, we're going to hear from Mickey Melendez, who does Con Sabor Latino, who was a former Young Lord.
Wow.
Is a Young Lord, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Not even emeritus. They're just still, I like to consider everyone that's a part of their DNA. And we'll get into deeper why it's still very relevant mm-hmm. to this day.
Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of newer activists are really talking a lot about this. I've mm-hmm. gotten multiple Facebook invitations to these events, and I'm really happy yeah. that we're able to share about this, talk about it as part of our summer membership job. And now we're going to start, as always, with some news from Linda Perry.
Good morning for WBAI in New York. I'm Linda Perry. Attacks against Planned Parenthood continued yesterday in the U.S. Senate. The organization dates back to a clinic started by Margaret Sanger in 1916. It's under continuous attacks by right-wingers. The present controversy is based on secret edited video by anti-abortionist activists discussing how medical researchers sometimes provide tissues from aborted fetuses, tissues used for medical medical research. Planned Parenthood says the videos are selectively edited and that the organization only recovers costs of the procedures, which is legal, and it only gives the tissues to researchers with mother's advance consent and in fewer than five states. Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer rose on the Senate floor to say she doesn't like lectures on pregnancy by men.
I'm pro-choice. And I just have to say, using pregnancy as a political football doesn't sit well with the people I represent and the people of this country. We have to respect one another. I respect your view entirely. I'm asking you to respect mine. Keep Uncle Sam out of my private life and my children's and my grandkids and yours. Families will make these decisions with their God, with their doctor. And 97% of the work Planned Parenthood does has nothing to do with abortion. It's primary health care. May I put my entire statement in the record on that point?
Without objection.
The measure to defund Planned Parenthood failed. The vote was 53 to 46, short of the 60 votes Republicans needed. The fight is creating heated talking points for Republican presidential candidates who convene this Thursday for their first debate of the 2016 campaign. Meanwhile, on Monday, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal canceled a Medicaid state contract with Planned Parenthood. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. A mother of eight died in a Mount Vernon jail last week, 42-year-old Raynette Turner. She was arrested July 25th, a Saturday, on a charge of stealing a package of crab legs from a wholesale food store. She was being held for a Monday arraignment. She reported not feeling well on July 26th, a Sunday, and was taken by ambulance to a hospital where she was treated for high blood pressure. Then she was returned to her cell a few hours later. Turner was seen alive midday July 27th, the Monday, but found dead at 2 p.m. An autopsy was inconclusive pending drug and other tests. Police have not addressed the question of why Turner was held over a weekend on a minor charge rather than given a court summons and release. New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman says he's using his new power as special prosecutor to take over the case. He's acting for the first time under Governor Andrew Cuomo's order last month, giving him authority in cases where people die in encounters with police. As expected, Puerto Rico has failed to make their debt payment, which was due on Saturday. It said it failed to make the $58 million payment because the island legislature failed to appropriate the funds, but they argued it should not be considered a default. Moody's Investor Service said the missed payment was first in what it believes will be broad defaults on Commonwealth debt. Government Development Bank President Melba Acosta Fibo said Monday that Puerto Rico made a partial payment of $628,000 in interest. Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla said several weeks ago Puerto Rico cannot pay its $72 billion in accumulated public debt and needs to restructure. Many are blaming hedge fund billionaires, vultures who bought the debt at reduced rates and are swooping in to collect. Meanwhile, reports commissioned by 34 hedge funds say Puerto Rico overspends on education. Hedge fund billionaire managers are calling on Puerto Rico to lay off teachers and close schools so the island can pay them back the billions it owes. Does New York City need a large sign at all of our ports of entry saying gun-toting tourists leave your guns behind? Well, this seems to be the case at least with some of the tourists from Texas. Authorities on Monday said a tourist from Texas was arrested on charges she was packing two loaded handguns at the September 11th memorial in New York City. Elizabeth Enderley has a permit to carry weapons in her home state. She thought it was okay to carry them here, too. One of her friends said, "Our husbands don't give us a hug and a kiss. They pat us down to make sure we're armed. We're not allowed to go out without them." At a news conference in Manhattan, comedian and actress Amy Schumer spoke of the women who were shot to death during a screening of her film in Louisiana. She was with her cousin, New York State Senator Charles Schumer, in support of a gun control bill. It would create monetary awards for states that submit all necessary records to a federal database used to perform background checks on gun buyers. Schumer said she thought about these victims every day since the tragedy.
"And what Chuck is describing, there's sensible measures and restrictions, and no one wants to live in a country where a felon, the mentally ill, or other dangerous people can get their hands on a gun with such ease.
Chuck Schumer's bill, which creates incentives, would also create penalties for states that fail to submit records to the database. He said the bill is about improving the background check system, not putting new restrictions on buyers. Meanwhile, the push to regulate toy guns has increased since a Cleveland police officer fatally shot 12-year-old Tamir Rice in November as the boy was holding a realistic airsoft gun. New York's attorney general reached a deal with Walmart, Sears, and Amazon to stop selling lifelike toy guns in New York. Schneiderman's office found that over 6,400 toy guns sold from 2012 to 2014 violated New York laws. Most of the toys were sold online. New York State prohibits the sale of black, blue, silver, or aluminum toy guns. New York City requires that imitation guns be brightly colored. And finally, Legionnaires' disease. New York City says 7 people have died from the disease since the recent outbreak in the South Bronx was detected on Friday. All deceased individuals were older adults. They had additional underlying medical problems. There are 80 reported cases. 64 were hospitalized. 28 have been treated and discharged. Legionnaires is a non-communicable disease. It's spread by breathing water vapors from cooling towers infected by Legionella bacteria. This does not in any way affect any drinking water. New York City's drinking water supply and other water features like fountains and pools are safe throughout New York City. They are unaffected by Legionella. So far, 5 buildings tested positive and were cleaned. Lincoln Hospital, Concourse Plaza, Opera House Hotel, Verizon, and the Streamline Plastics Company in the South Bronx. There have been 2,400 cases nationwide this year. The disease is cured with antibiotics. Linda Perry, WBAI News.
We are at the morning show on WBAI New York 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. And we are in the midst of our summer membership drive. And we have a lot of talk about the young lords today. That's what we have in store for you. We have Fran Luck from Joy of Resistance, who will be joining us. And in studio, we are with Jeannie Hopper, and this is Pam Brown, your mostly regular Tuesday morning co-host with Michael G. Haskins, who is on a much-needed vacation. Jeannie, usually Michael and I talk a little bit about the news at this time. What I know that you were had a couple of stories that you were thinking about that came into your ethos, into your realm.
Well, yes, this past Friday was the people's hearing that shined light on abortion issues in Mississippi. And there's now a nationwide concentration for the state of emergency on, you know, women's rights.
Mm.
And one of the most shocking, it took place in Jackson, Mississippi. One of the most shocking things is Mississippi only has one abortion clinic.
They only have one left.
That's it.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And I'm assuming, Jeannie, that's because people, protesters shut a lot of clinics down, made it impossible for them to exist?
Yeah, and I guess, you know, it's the powers that be and the political climate, mm-hmm. especially in the Bible Belt there.
I think Texas is also pretty limited. I'm not sure if they have one or two or three, but I know it's very few.
Yeah, and but the organization that I'm talking about is called StopPatriarchy.org, and you can learn more by going to their site and then add /peoples-hearing. We hope to be airing here on WBAI a synopsis, at least an hour's worth, from sound and interviews and the hearings that took place this past Friday.
Amazing.
So we'll keep everyone posted on that.
Wow. I was just catching a New York Times story that's in the paper today, or maybe it was actually, I guess it's from yesterday. And it's an interesting story for us New Yorkers because it's bodegas declining in Manhattan as rents rise and chains grow. And the story is really interesting. It says 75 bodegas have actually closed already this year, just this year. Right. We're not even through the year in Harlem, Inwood and Washington Heights. And a lot of those stores have been profitable for
absolutely
20 years.
And we're talking about small businesses, too.
We're talking about small businesses, which is something that's near and dear to me. Many of the listeners know that my husband and I own a small business. And the problem is that the rents are just increasing and the leases tend to be pretty short. 5 years is not really that long for a small business. And then you have all of these chains coming in, just something that we know about. And right now they're not even, they're actually just trying to think about what stores they can save, not even saving the stores that are going under. They're looking more like, okay, we have to let those stores go out of business, right?
Yeah, and that's hard, as you know, to then suddenly restart and let alone be able to restart in the neighborhood that you're in. And right here, actually down the street from WBAI, we have a bodega on Bond and Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And it did make kind of the, what you call it, Time Out Magazine, a story in there where there's some artist, I've got to look this up, that has been making up these signs and putting in the window like, Artisan Roach Bomb, $15.99. But then you just see like a regular product that you would buy for probably like $5. And then they're like, Artisan Ham and Cheese Sandwich, you know, for $25.
After seeing the Roach Bomb, I don't want the ham and cheese sandwich.
Well, it's more the sarcasm and utilizing, in essence, what would be somewhat of, you know, art to bring attention to. And they did say that some people would come in the bodega and actually say, just so that you can stay.
Uh-huh.
I will pay you that price.
Wow.
Which is really interesting. It's this store here is the second one. It might be the third that these artists are going around to various neighborhoods to sort of give
try
a different
help.
Take and grab some of your attention as you're walking down the street.
Well, I know that people are starting, small business owners are actually starting to organize because of these high rents. And there are some internal lists that that people are on. There's something called Town Square at Park Slope, which is where my husband and I have a business. And on that list every day, I'm getting posts about the increasing rents, all these small businesses going under. So it's good to see this in the news because New Yorkers, of course, we associate New York with the bodega. It's sort of one of those things that if you grew up in the city as I did, you've seen these over so many years. They're a part of the community in a particular kind of way. People know the owner, right? People are going in there regularly.
And, you know, part of it, too, for me, is that familiarity and a bit of a safety mechanism for the neighborhood. Because a lot of the bodegas are open 24/7.
That's right.
So their eyes are on who's around and what's going on. And in essence, you know, they're sort of our eyes and ears in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I could name off in the area I'm in just in the last couple of years a dozen bodegas that have closed. And having some of the city council members, you know, out there picketing and trying to help. But that was around election time.
Right.
And I don't see quite the same rallying. However, I'm not being definitive on that. I did hear on one show on WBAI that back in, I think it was the 40s or 30s, there was something similar, or there used to be, actually, not what would be called rent control, but there was some sort of a cap or something that the small businesses, especially bodegas, would not have to experience such extreme rent hikes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have a place like, I remember Hogs and Heifers is going to be leaving New York now.
Oh, really?
Luckily, she went. She took the brand and set up in Vegas.
Right.
Makes sense. That area in the meatpacking district, I believe her rent is going up like $20,000.
Right.
Up.
Yes.
$20,000.
And the problem...
After already having gone, I think, from... like around a 9 or 10 to 30,000 the last time.
Yeah.
A month.
Right. And that's important. A month.
Yeah.
And what happens for small businesses is that the rents are so high that unfortunately you're basically the employee of the property owner. And most of the small businesses are rented properties. They're not, you're not in the category of property owner. And therefore, at the end of the day, it's not worth it to continue a business when you're just really working to cover the rent. And only big stores, only big corporations can afford these rents and can afford to sustain their businesses now, which I think is a real long-term problem because, you know, everything is being more and more pushed in the direction of people both working for corporations, developing, therefore, a corporate identity, that way of being and understanding, you know, who they are in the world and how people should interact with one another and, you know, squeezing out that middle class, that middle range where we see that people are not able to sustain themselves.
It's more and more of the high and low.
High and low. No middle ground. Which was actually a lot of what I did see.
Now, Pam, where were you just traveling? You were away for the last month.
Yeah, and each week on the show, we typically have Amin Hussein, who's a Palestinian-American activist. And usually he joins us. He's actually in Venice right now as a part of the Gulf Labor Coalition. And so he's not able to join us today. And I was away for almost a month with Amin and some others in Palestine. And so we were working on a documentary about movement building, Palestinian resistance, and relating that to what we're doing here, and not just here, but globally. So that was a very interesting experience that I'm only just, I think, being able to...
Digesting now?
to digest. You know, I mean...
Where were you staying mainly?
Well, mostly we stayed in Nablus. And Nablus is a very interesting city. It's an unbelievably beautiful city. It's built into hills, and you can see like sort of hill and valley, and all the houses are built into built on hills. It's very hilly, much more so than San Francisco, if listeners are familiar with that city. And it is considered one of the strongholds for Palestinian resistance. The Balata refugee camp is in Nablus, and that's a refugee camp that was created after starting in 1948. And during that period, people had to flee, and they ended up in this refugee camp there, which is known very much for Palestinian armed resistance, frankly. And the city was a real hot point during the Second Intifada as well. And so it's a very interesting place
and
on
a lot of levels. Is this in the, I forget, is it West Bank or is that Gaza?
It's in the West Bank.
That's in the West Bank.
And it's probably, I'd say it's about 2 hours from Ramallah.
Okay.
So that might give people, Ramallah is probably...
The closest to like Jerusalem.
Yes.
A bit.
I think probably the closest to Jerusalem. Absolutely. And so it was a very interesting trip. We were able to speak with a lot of activists. We were able to To go there with a couple of American public intellectuals who listeners may or may not be familiar with. One was David Graeber, who is an anthropologist who wrote the book Death, the First 5,000 Years. And he worked a lot with us in Occupy, particularly around student debt and debt more generally, and Occupy more generally as well. He's very much interested in social, let's say, transformation and the end of violence, I would say, actually, as a way of being. That's not to say that he's a pacifist in any way. It's just to say that he's concerned very much with state violence and the way in which states are created around violence. And then we were also, so we were with him part of the time, and then we were also with Andrew Ross, who is a professor at NYU. He is by training a sociologist, but he's mostly known for his work in the American Studies Association. Particularly now, he's done quite a lot of work around BDS. I should mention that he's done a lot of work with Occupy, a lot of work on student debt as well. And so the group of people were sort of constituted around Tidal Magazine. And Tidal Magazine came out of Occupy. It was Occupy Theory, Tidal Magazine. And the project there was looking at ways to put theory into action. And so this is an extension of that project and thinking about Palestine in some sense as exceptional and in another sense really as not exceptional, and so looking at it in ways that things are similar, particularly under a neoliberal kind of global regime. So that's what we were doing, and it was a really interesting trip. We were able to speak with a lot of different activists. Mm-hmm. From one of the co-founders of BDS, which is mm-hmm. Boycott, Divest, Sanction, that movement, which is a global movement asking for international support for Palestinian liberation and the end of the occupation through boycotting goods that are produced, especially within the settlements and in some cases, depending on their relationship to Israel, goods that are simply produced by Israel as well.
Which we heard a little bit here, such as at the, was it the Prospect Heights, mm-hmm. The famous...
the food co-op,
yeah,
are you
the
thinking?
Food co-op.
The Park Slope Food Co-op.
There you go, Park Slope Food Co-op.
Yeah,
a lot of people wonder, you know, really what is effect if you boycott a product?
Right.
Is it really effective?
Yes.
Especially when you're talking about somewhere halfway around the world.
Right. Well, one of the interesting things is that in pretty much 100% of the case, and we really talked to a range of activists, a range of people who are engaged at all different levels of struggle, from people who were engaged in armed resistance to people who believe in a completely nonviolent approach, even ideologically and not only tactically. And so we had a wide range, and 100% of them all agreed that there is no way to end Israel's illegal occupation and illegal growth of settlements without international support. And the entire world actually agrees. There's virtually no one who does not agree that the settlements in particular are illegal, and they have expanded incredibly. When they are military bases, most people don't realize that, but it's very obvious when you're there. You physically see the military base. You physically see the armed, soldiers, right, defending.
Yeah, and this is what they don't show here.
And you physically
ongoing
see the wall.
In the commercial media, you
That's
don't
right.
see that.
You physically see the wall, and we call it the wall, but it's actually many walls, okay? Because what they're doing is they're walling in Palestinian cities, such as Nablus, and they're trying to make it such there's only one way out. They're cutting the city off from the villages that are basically agricultural kind of outposts for the city. And so people are trying to resist that because their livelihood is based on bringing
transporting their goods.
And so they're also saying to people, well, sorry, we're going to need to take your olive trees to expand our settlement, right? And the entire world actually agrees that this is absolutely 100% illegal based on international law. So it's not even simply the moral issue, but it's also an actual very real legal issue. And so we can talk about this more and more.
So what's going to be great is getting to hear, hopefully, at some point here in the morning show with you all what you have gathered and more information on what's going on directly from the ground in Palestine.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward. Palestine's 7 hours ahead. So I'm hopeful that if we can have our Skype situation set up. I'm not sure if it is because I've been gone away. Gone for a month, but
have some ongoing regular dialogue.
Exactly.
That'll be great.
Who are there right now.
All right. And we're going to take a little musical break, but we do want to remind you, this is the Summer Membership Drive for WBAI. You are tuned into here at 99.5 FM, New York. You can go to give2wbai.org. Be a sustaining member. If you've been enjoying the morning show in its fabulous new collection of great hosts, such as Pam here, please do your part and cast your vote. And this is your chance to let us know, do you support WBAI? Do you support this programming? Go to give2wbai.org and make a favorite show donation. Very simple to do. I know it's early in the morning for some, but for others, they may have already been up a couple hours. Thus is New York 24/7. So if you're feeling us, please do so. You're tuned to the morning show, and we're going to take a little musical interlude and come back with you all to get deep into our topic at hand and focus for this membership drive morning show, the Young Lords Exhibition taking place, the Bronx Museum, Luis Saida, and El Museo de Barrio.
you are listening to The Morning Show on WBAI.org. Usually, myself, Pam Brown, is joined by Michael G. Haskins. He is on a much-needed vacation this week, and so we are here during our summer membership drive with Jeannie Hopper and now Fran Luck, who you know from Joy of Resistance, which is Thursdays from 9 to 10 p.m., right?
That's correct.
Welcome, Fran. And so today we're going to be talking about the Young Lords and a series of events that are coming up, as I understand it. Fran, maybe you can help us out here.
Okay. Throughout the city at this time, there is a huge multi-site show going on that is a kind of reassessment and exhibition all about the Young Lords. It is going on in three locations, as Jeannie, I know, has mentioned, at the Bronx Museum of the Art, at Museo del Barrio, and in my neighborhood, Loisaida. And these shows all opened within the last 2 weeks, and they're going to be going on until October 10th, so there'll be a chance for people to really see them. And, of course, the Young Lords were a legendary group of activists, and we're going to be hearing a clip in a moment discussing the legacy of the Young Lords that I had the really good fortune of recording at this ultra-special event that I attend in relation to this. That was called The Women of the Young Lords. It was a panel. It was at the Bronx Museum of the Arts on July 23rd. It was completely sold out as of July 1st. You couldn't get near it. The place was bursting at the seams with older people, younger people. It was like a coming together, a kind of reunion of folks from all over, and it was very intense and very wonderful. And what we're going to be doing, as I understand it, is we're going to be playing some clips that I was able to record. Kind of an exclusive. Not too many people got to record this. And it was priceless, absolutely priceless. So you'll hear that and you'll feel that in a few minutes.
And now the overall exhibition is entitled Presente, The Young Lords in New York. It is spearheaded by the Bronx Museum up on the Grand Concourse. Which so much history has happened up there musically and culturally. And as Fran was mentioning, also at El Museo de Barrio, we did want to mention that. Do listen closely because you will be able to get a copy of this historic panel that only a limited amount of people were able to experience in person.
Yeah, Jeannie, why don't we just lead in and let listeners know we are right now working on our summer membership drive. This is very, very, very important for the station. We really need listener support. What is the premium? Well, this is a gift that we're offering as a thank you for your contribution. Yeah. And there are many ways to contribute. The website there is give2wbai.org. And that's a place that you can go and you can find this premium. You can become a BAI buddy, hint, hint, there.
Or a favorite show donation.
Or make a favorite show donation. Now, we hope that this is your favorite show.
Now, the special that we have for you as a gift is for $60 tax-deductible contribution. We've added on to the audio that Fran has gathered, which you can get on its own for $50, but just $10 more. And a lot of people, when we mention the Young Lords, they are very aware of the publication, the newspaper that they used to put out called Palantes. I hope I said that right, Palantes. And it was very pivotal, but you will be able to get a reprint of various articles that El Museo de Barrio has in their permanent collection.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And El Museo de Barrio, by the way, is the first and probably the largest solely focused on Latin America and, a Latin culture museum in the United States. So the exhibition, they have a lot of this on view up uptown along Museum Mile there on Fifth Avenue. And this publication is pretty amazing. And you will get a copy of it. I know Jed Brandt, who does the Monday morning show. Mm-hmm. He was so excited when I mentioned the Young Lords.
I know he wanted it on his show, right?
Yeah, he said they had a
copy. I know, Judd.
They had a copy of these newspapers, and they used to pass them around and read them all the time.
Oh, wow.
So it's very exciting. So you get both.
So this is Women of the Young Lords
yes.
Party CD mm-hmm. and also book.
It's not
Palentis.
A book so much.
Right.
It's actually in newsprint, but it's a limited edition reprint of various articles, again, compiled from Palente. But I think we
Incredible.
Should get into the
and
first
And that's
clip.
Only for
$60
contribution. Yeah. That is our gift to you as a thank you.
And then
if you would like it.
Yeah, the number to call is 212-209-2950. That's the pledge line, 212-209-2950. Always sounds better in a chorus, right? So you can call them, and what you're going to be asking for is Women of the Young Lords. It's a package, though. The package is what has the book and the CD. But if you want just the Women of the Young Lords panel, then that's solely a CD. So you're going to be asking either for the CD and book, or I should say the reprint of Palantes, or solely the CD for $50.
And there's no reason not to get both, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Really.
If you're able, there's really no
yeah.
reason not to. So,
So I think we should jump right in and I think find out about the Young Lords from somebody who is really an expert on the Young Lords and is the co-curator at
yeah,
the Bronx
from
Museum
the Bronx.
Of the Arts. And that's Dr. Johanna Fernandez. And she teaches U.S. history at Baruch College. She's working on a book on the Young Lords Party. And she also teaches African American history, and she's also an activist, Bumia Abu-Jamal. She's a fantastic woman, and she really knows her stuff on the Young Lords. So I think we should just put on that
excellent
5 minute, actually it's a 6 minute, no, it's a 5 minute clip, and get our feet wet in this fabulous
right.
topic. And
sounds
please,
perfect.
Please call while you're listening.
Yes, 212-209-2950, and make a donation. CD number one, yeah.
Okay, so the Young Lords emerged like a lightning bolt in 1969 at the tail end of one of the most thunderous decades in American history. The organization first emerged in Chicago and later in New York and was led by working class Puerto Rican youth who had been radicalized by the civil rights and Black Power movements and by the Vietnam War. They were the children of the Puerto Rican migration of the post-World War II period who grew up in poor communities here in the Bronx, in the Lower East Side, and El Barrio, but also in Chicago. The politics and organizational structure of the Young Lords was inspired by the Black Panther Party. 30% of the group's membership, of the Young Lords membership that is, was African American and other Latino. In many ways, they were ahead of their time. Their membership represented the new 21st century American city. The first article of their 13-point program and platform read, quote, "We want self-determination for Puerto Ricans, liberation on the island and inside of the United States." They were Puerto Rican revolutionary nationalists. Their final point, point number 13 of their 13-point program and platform read, "We want a socialist society." They were revolutionaries. In New York, the Young Lords initiated, as you know, a chain of urban guerrilla protests and occupations of an East Harlem church and of Lincoln Hospital right here in the Bronx. Those occupations and protests riveted the media and pressured Mayor John Lindsay's administration to grant significant social reforms. Their free breakfast programs for school-aged children helped to institutionalize what is now the federal school breakfast program for children across the nation. And we have to thank the Black Panther Party for initiating that project. In 1974, the American Journal of Public Health credited the Young Lords' activism and they said that the Young Lords were instrumental to New York's anti-lead poisoning legislation passed a few years later. At Lincoln Hospital, the Young Lords' occupation led to the creation of one of the principal acupuncture drug treatment centers in the Western world, again, ahead of their time. Today, we talk about wellness, but the Young Lords really implemented wellness to cure the people, and they have to be lauded for that. The history of the Young Lords is important because it stretches our understanding of the Civil Rights and Black Power era. Their activism reflects the range of social and economic problems with which these movements were concerned, and they reflect also the ethnic and racial diversity of participants in these movements. And only in recognizing that the civil rights movement was a profoundly diverse movement ethnically that brought together Chicanos and Native Americans and Latinos and Puerto Ricans and African Americans, will we really be able to grasp the importance of that movement for the transformation of American society. Full of passion and barely adults, the Young Lords fought for the highest aspirations for social justice of their generation. They believed that the revolutionary process requires a birth of the individual in society, what the Argentine revolutionary Ernesto Che Guevara called the new man and the new woman. As Young Lord Pablo Guzman explained in 1971, quote, "Revolution means change from the top to the bottom, and that includes the way we deal with each other as human beings," unquote. This philosophy spoke most to the women of the Young Lords, who were vital to the lifeblood and day-to-day work of the organization since its founding, and who committed themselves to the revolution within the revolution. Tonight, we will hear and celebrate their stories.
All right. The revolution within the revolution. That is actually the theme of the Women of the Young Lords panel, because while the men were out there strutting their stuff and being very involved in machismo, women were really getting short shrift in the organization, as has happened in so many organizations.
Yeah, we've heard that one before.
Yes, on the left. And that was a time which Denise Oliver, who is our next speaker, pointed out there was not a feminist movement. She said there was no bell hooks. There was no black studies program. There was none of this. We were feeling our way. And that's what really makes it so exciting, because they really are feeling their way, and they're kind of forging the trail. So, and that's why I love it so much. So I know that we all want to mention, of course, that you can get this fantastic package.
Fran, how long is the actual panel on the CD that we're offering?
It's very close to 2 hours.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Wow.
It is. It has 8 women on it. Well, it has actually 4 main speakers plus Johanna Fernandez. It has Minerva Solas, who was the first woman in the Young Lords Defense Committee. That was a whole area that you had to really forge ahead. And if you were a woman, it was very difficult to be in defense. And she also is a former vice president of 1199. She has a wonderful labor history. Denise Oliver, who we'll be hearing in a moment, who was the first woman elected to leadership in the Young Lords Party. She was on the Central Committee. She's an African-American woman, and she's a visiting professor. We have Gloria Rodriguez, who's a professor of psychology. Olga Robles, who did a fantastic job of talking about sterilization
right.
in Puerto Rico. And she is a public health worker. And then we have Iris Morales, who was deputy minister of education in the Young Lords. And she's working on a book on the Young Lords. And she's directed the first film about the Young Lords called Pa'lante Siempre Pa'lante, which maybe
wow.
we can offer at some point. So it's fabulous, fabulous panel. And it's almost painful to not play it all for you, but that's why you have to get the premium, of course, because there is so much left out. So let's go to some really hot, sizzling stuff that's coming up next, where Denise Oliver really talks somewhat about the struggle of women within the Young Lords, and
I think that now that it's 45 years later, stuff is coming out that people didn't know about before because it, you know, it was a little hush-hush and making the party look good. And now we're getting the whole story. So let's hear
Incredible.
This.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Denise, can you talk to us about revolutionary machismo and how that posed a contradiction in the organization?
Yes. Revolutionary machismo. The oxymoron of the century. Y'all are aware already that the Young Lords had a 13-point program and platform, which we adapted with certain changes from the Black Panther Party 10-point program and platform. Now, when the program and platform was written, it was written by brothers, okay? And so, being good revolutionaries, they decided that it'd be a very good idea to include our sisters. And we will put a point in the program for our sisters. That was really nice of them, you know? And they made it point 10. You know, down toward the bottom. We were sort of a squeezed-in afterthought. We want equality for women. Machismo must be revolutionary, not oppressive. Y'all know we did not write this, okay? All right. We get up very early in the morning, go to the free breakfast program, pick up these kids, feed these kids, take these kids back. Then we come back, and if you were a cadre, you went out and you sold newspapers, and maybe you had to sell 100 newspapers and whatever, because that's how we supported the organization. Then you came back, and then maybe you went around and collected all the little children in East Harlem's because we were testing them for lead poisoning. And then maybe you went back and you went and you did community PE and you were teaching people in the community. And then you came back and you had to go to study hall. If you had done something bad, you were punished. You went to study hall and you had to read Lenin and write it out 40 times, you know? And then by that time it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and you fell out and then you got up the next morning and you started work all over again. And, you know, and then you had to deal with, if you were a woman, you had to deal with brothers. You're doing all this work. You're second-class citizens in the organization. There were women from the very beginning. But we get left out of the picture. So during this period of time, we're dealing with the contradictions of dealing with men in the community, men in the cadres, and we're trying to be good revolutionaries, except something's not clicking. It's this equality for women, and how can machismo that allows men to beat their women, machismo that allows men to rape women in the community, machismo that allows women to be second class, that's not revolutionary. We were also, at the time, influenced by our political surroundings. So you had a Black nationalist movement and a Black arts movement, which were about having my beautiful Black sister, Amazon Queen, on a pedestal over here and have lots of babies. And while we go out and we are the guerrilla African fighters. So we go out to visit into this Black nationalist place, and it's all brothers and me in my combat boots and my jacket, and this African brother comes out and, you know, does the handshake and whatever, and he shakes everybody's hands, and he goes down the line, and then he gets to me, and he realizes I'm a woman, and he snatches his hand back. And we're standing there, and then these sisters come in African garb on their knees. On their knees. They crawl into the room where they have baskets of fruit. And they're doing this fruit dance, crawling. And then they back out of the room. And I'm standing there going, I don't believe this. This is who we are going to make an alliance with? So I walked out. And I went back to the apartment. We lived in collective apartments, and I lived there with several sisters. We had just started having these meetings of women to come together. And I said, y'all ain't gonna believe this shit. We gonna have to have fruit baskets and crawl on the floor. And am I lying?
No.
They flipped. What? We were appalled because this was not what we had in our heads. We had been reading about revolutionary women in China, revolutionary women in Vietnam, some of the history out of Puerto Rico, Mariana Bracetti. We knew powerful women from the civil rights movement. We knew there had to be something more than separating us off and making us beautiful Taina princesses or something. We decided that, one, we were going to write position paper on women. We were going to demand, not ask, but demand that the platform be changed, that the program be changed, and that we march together with our brothers as equals. We were going to demand that they struggle against their machismo and not turn it into some bullshit about it being revolutionary.
Was Denise Oliver, the first woman to be elected to the steering committee in the Young Lords, talking about the struggle of women within the Young Lords. And what we didn't have time to play was that they went on to win that struggle.
Amazing.
They, with the help of a lot of the younger male Young Lords, who really could hear it a little bit more than some of the older ones, they went on to get that platform changed, and that plank that had been number 10 on women got moved up to number 5 and was written by women. So there is a real sense of, you know, of a revolution within the revolution that happened. And that night, when we heard about all this at the panel, it was electric. And you can hear the audience. You can hear them come in and just cheering all the way, because this is one of those stories of the century.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It's symbolic of so much struggle. It's got me right in my center. And I think that those listening are going to really appreciate when they get to hear even more of it.
Yeah, and the CD is 2 hours long. So you have all 2 hours of this panel that Fran Luck from Joy of Resistance recorded for everyone. And also this incredible, I guess you could say, booklet, which we've actually been scrolling through while listening here.
Yeah, it's on newsprint, actually. And think of kind of what the Village Voice used to be, how thick it was, but a bit bigger,
uh-huh.
And much thicker, where they've compiled various articles that were released in Palantas, the publication put out by the Young Lords. So this is out of, it's reprints from the El Museo de Barrios collection, which even more is on view up at the museum, as well as the Lower East Side, the Loisada Inc., a great cultural center. And we also have the exhibition going on at the Bronx Museum, which Fran has just mentioned, where this panel, this very historic panel, Women of the Young Lords Party, took place.
Yeah, and Jeannie, if I can interject, mm-hmm. the reason that these are the three locations of the exhibition is because those were the neighborhoods that the Young Lords had chapters in.
I see.
They were active in the mm-hmm. Bronx, they were active in El Barrio, and they were active in Loisaida, my mm-hmm. neighborhood, and had a great influence on the culture around mm-hmm. them.
And I just wanted to mention, too, I mean, if you get into the history, it's still there. There's still some rich cultural institutions, and the culture carries on. It's just not as prominent because of the gentrification that's happened in some
right.
of these areas.
But people are really, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, I've gotten many Facebook invitations to these events now. I was noticing them, and then this came up, and the people I'm getting these invitations from are really newer activists coming more out of Occupy, out of Black Lives Matter. People are really looking to this history. They're thinking about
yes.
how to make connections. And I have to say that one of the things that makes this radio station really special and unique is that we have a place here, a public forum, a public space, which is so lacking, even though it's, you know, an on-air space right, where we can share these ideas, where we can have intergenerational dialogue, where we can really make connections between these movements and let people know that people are actually doing things. People are doing things on the ground. I don't know what activism in New York, what all of the connections that we're drawing would really be like without a station like WBAI. I think that we are the only real place for that to happen.
So let's give that pledge number.
The pledge number is 212-209-2950. And it's really urgent that that you call in. And for a contribution of only $60, $50, if that's what you have, and if you don't have that, and that's 100% fine. Many New Yorkers are really strapped right now. There's becoming a WBAI buddy. That is a way that you can really help, and you won't even notice it coming out of your account. It could be $10 a month, it could be $5 a month, it could be $20, it could be whatever you want.
It's basically becoming a sustaining member, so you'll be committing $10 or greater a month, and that's probably no more than the loose change you collect within a week.
That's right. And moreover, this is a treasure you'll be getting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a treasure you'll be sustaining.
WBAI. And this is also here for activist use.
Exactly.
You know, this is not dead stuff. This is relevant.
And again, the number to call is 212-209-2950. You will receive in newsprint, like a magazine, but in newsprint, of various articles from that were actually printed and put out by the Young Lords through their publication Palentes. You will have a chance to get that copy. And this is the only time you'll really have a chance to get this. This was highly sought after and passed around. And especially as Pam was noting, by our Occupy folks to other activists, 212-209-2950. That is the package, the Young Lords, Women of the Young Lords package. So you get the full 2-hour panel discussion along with this publication that El Museo de Barrio has put together, which they hold in their permanent collection, the original copies of these newspapers up there near East Harlem. So 212-209-2950. We have not pressured.
www.give2wbai. Right, give2wbai.org. That's the website that you can go to.
And we haven't really since the new morning show lineup started, we have not really pressured or asked anyone. So much so, you listeners, to give your support. And at this time, I think it's time the show, Pam, and all these great hosts, Jed, Mario, putting this whole lineup together, Michael G, of course. It is no small feat. Everyone is volunteer. No one gets paid. This is huge, folks, to bring you such a great comprehensive lineup in your early morning drive time and coffee time with us, or tea time. 212-209-2950. Don't sleep on this. If you're awake, hello, and make that pledge or go to give2wbai.org. Another reminder, $60 pledge, you get the Young Lords Palentes publication.
Palante. It's actually Palante.
Palante, sorry. I'm saying plural because it's multiple ones compiled into this new reprint, a newspaper print, into like what is a big magazine. And on top of that, you will get the CD, the 2-hour CD of this historic panel that took place up at the Bronx Museum, who are the pivotal folks in bringing this whole exhibition together throughout these three locations.
And right. So thank you very much to those of you who are calling in right now. You are listening to The Morning Show on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. And now we have the news, as always, the 7 o'clock news with Linda Perry.
Good morning for WBAI in New York. I'm Linda Perry. Attacks against Planned Parenthood continued yesterday in the U.S. Senate. The organization dates back to a clinic started by Margaret Sanger in 1916. It's under continuous attacks by right-wingers. The present controversy is based on secret edited video by anti-abortionist activists discussing how medical researchers sometimes provide tissues from aborted fetuses, tissues used for medical research. Planned Parenthood says the videos are selectively edited and that the organization only recovers costs of the procedures, which is legal, and it only gives the tissues to researchers with mother's advance consent and in fewer than five states. Democratic Senator Barbara Boxer rose on the Senate floor to say she doesn't like lectures on pregnancy by men.
I'm pro-choice. And I just have to say, using pregnancy as a political football doesn't sit well with the people I represent and the people of this country. We have to respect one another. I respect your view entirely. I'm asking you to respect mine. Keep Uncle Sam out of my private life and my children's and my grandkids and yours. Families will make these decisions with their God, with their doctor. And 97% of the work Planned Parenthood does has nothing to do with abortion. It's primary health care. May I put my entire statement in the record on that point?
Without objection.
The measure to defund Planned Parenthood failed. The vote was 53 to 46, short of the 60 votes Republicans needed. The fight is creating heated talking points for Republican presidential candidates who convene this Thursday for their first debate of the 2016 campaign. Meanwhile, on Monday, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal canceled a Medicaid state contract with Planned Parenthood. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. A mother of eight died in a Mount Vernon jail last week, 42-year-old Raynette Turner. She was arrested July 25th, a Saturday, on a charge of stealing a package of crab legs from a wholesale food store. She was being held for a Monday arraignment. She reported not feeling well on July 26th, a Sunday, and was taken by ambulance to a hospital where she was treated for high blood pressure. Then she was returned to her cell a few hours later. Turner was seen alive midday, July 27th, the Monday, but found dead at 2 p.m. An autopsy was inconclusive pending drug and other tests. Police have not addressed the question of why Turner was held over a weekend on a minor charge rather than given a court summons and released. New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman says he's using his new power as special prosecutor to take over the case. He's acting for the first time under Governor Andrew Cuomo's order last month, giving him authority in cases where people die in encounters with police. As expected, Puerto Rico has failed to make their debt payment, which was due on Saturday. It said it failed to make the $58 million payment because the island legislature failed to appropriate the funds, but they argued it should not be considered a default. Moody's Investor Service said the missed payment was first in what it believes will be broad defaults on Commonwealth debt. Government Development Bank President Melba Acosta Fibo said Monday that Puerto Rico made a partial payment of $628,000 in interest. Governor Alejandro Garcia Padilla said several weeks ago Puerto Rico cannot pay its $72 billion in accumulated public debt and needs to restructure. Many are blaming hedge fund billionaires, vultures who bought the debt at reduced rates and are swooping in to collect. Meanwhile, reports commissioned by 34 hedge funds say Puerto Rico overspends on education. Hedge fund billionaire managers are calling on Puerto Rico to lay off teachers and close schools so the island can pay them back the billions it owes. Does New York City need a large sign at all of our ports of entry saying, "Gun-toting tourists, leave your guns behind"? Well, this seems to be the case, at least with some of the tourists from Texas. Authorities on Monday said a tourist from Texas was arrested on charges she was packing two loaded handguns at the September 11th memorial in New York City. Elizabeth Enderly has a permit to carry weapons in her home state. She thought it was okay to carry them here, too. One of her friends said, "Our husbands don't give us a hug and a kiss. They pat us down to make sure we're armed. We're not allowed to go out without them." At a news conference in Manhattan, comedian and actress Amy Schumer spoke of the women who were shot to death during a screening of her film in Louisiana. She was with her cousin, New York State Senator Charles Schumer, in support of a gun control bill. It would create monetary awards for states that submit all necessary records to a federal database used to perform background checks on gun buyers. Schumer said she thought about these victims every day since the tragedy.
And what Chuck is describing, they're sensible measures and restrictions. And no one wants to live in a country where a felon, the mentally ill, or other dangerous people can get their hands on a gun with such ease.
Chuck Schumer's bill, which creates incentives, would also create penalties for states that fail to submit records to the database. He said the bill is about improving the background check system, not putting new restrictions on buyers. Meanwhile, the push to regulate toy guns has increased since a Cleveland police officer fatally shot 12-year-old Tamir Rice in November as the boy was holding a realistic airsoft gun. New York's attorney general reached a deal with Walmart, Sears, and Amazon to stop selling lifelike toy guns in New York. Schneiderman's office found that over 6,400 toy guns sold from 2012 to 2014 violated New York laws. Most of the toys were sold online. New York State prohibits the sale of black, blue, silver, or aluminum toy guns. New York City requires that imitation guns be brightly colored. And finally, Legionnaires' disease. New York City says 7 people have died from the disease since the recent outbreak in the South Bronx was detected on Friday. All deceased individuals were older adults. They had additional underlying medical problems. There are 80 reported cases. 64 were hospitalized. 28 have been treated and discharged. Legionnaires is a non-communicable disease. It's spread by breathing water vapors from cooling towers infected by Legionella bacteria. This does not in any way affect any drinking water. New York City's drinking water supply and other water features like fountains and pools are safe throughout New York City. They are unaffected by Legionella. So far, 5 buildings tested positive and were cleaned. Lincoln Hospital, Concourse Plaza, Opera House Hotel, Verizon, and the Streamline Plastics Company in the South Bronx. There have been 2,400 cases nationwide this year. The disease is cured with antibiotics. Linda Perry, WBAI News.
Listening to The Morning Show on WBAI New York 99.5 FM, and we are in the midst of our summer membership drive. You can call in with any contributions to 212-209-2950 or visit us at www.giveGIVE2WBAI, that's your favorite radio station, .org. And now we're going to continue talking about the Young Lords. This is Pam Brown, and I'm in studio today with both Jeannie Hopper and Fran Luck, Jeannie from Liquid Sound Lounge and Fran from Joy of Resistance. And we're talking today about the Young Lords, and we're offering a premium for your generous contributions, Women of the Young Lords, and it's a panel and package as well that was prepared in part, recorded last week, I believe, right, Fran?
Only a week ago
by Fran Luck. So let's maybe talk a little bit more about this.
Yeah, this is hot off the digital media. This really just happened, and that's why I rushed and worked so hard to get it on the air quickly, because it's a very electric event. The whole series of events, all of these exhibits are all interconnected, and they all give you a total three-dimensional picture of the Young Lords, which was a terrifically important group, influenced thousands and thousands of lives. in my neighborhood, Loisaida, I was involved in fighting for a community center named Charas El Bohio that was put on the auction block by Rudolph Giuliani, a vital community center that the neighborhood has lost. But it was founded by guys who were gang members, Puerto Rican gang members, early, like in the 50s, who evolved into community activists with the influence of the Young Lords. And so those ripples went out into the community. And even the fact that we have Loisaida Inc., which just opened one of the branches of the show.
Which we're actually going to be hearing from Wilson Valentin Escobar, who was one of the co-curators with Libertad Guerra. And they were the ones that put together this great Loisaida exhibition, which I want to say is, we'll get into the uniqueness of that, because they talked about kind of the LGBT issues that they're focusing on in their exhibition.
You know, I must say that out of the Women's Caucus of the Young Lords, which they had to fight so hard for, came a gay and lesbian caucus in the Young Lords. Here is this group that's so focused on machismo, and they evolved to that point where they can have a gay and lesbian caucus.
That's unbelievable, really.
It's huge, and especially for that time.
And I have to say that all of these connections are so important, and I know that a lot of people who are really engaged in the issues that we're facing today listen to this show, they listen to this radio station, they listen to Joy of Resistance, they listen to the morning show, they listen to many of the other amazing shows on the station. And this is really a critical moment, as many people already know, in the history of WBAI. And the important thing to understand about today is that we are having our summer membership drive. This conversation is a part of that drive, and we really need people to call in or to go online and to contribute. And in return, we will give you a thank you gift, and that thank you gift has been generated with a lot of heart and a lot of love and a lot of energy by Fran. It's Women of the Young Lords, and it is a CD and a, sorry, maybe it's a DVD. It's a something, CD. It's in CD, and also it's an additional package that Jeannie put together, which is a reprint of some of these amazing newspaper clippings from the Young Lords. This is the only place that you're going to find not only this kind of premium, but also this kind of information. We are a community-based radio station. We do not have corporate sponsors, corporate funders. That would obviously change what we're able to do and what we're able to talk about on the air. Every week on Tuesdays, we're able to talk about Palestine. And that's something that listeners tell me regularly that they really want to hear more about. And you don't hear that anywhere else. We have a ground, on the ground kind of experience, on the ground discussion and understanding of what's really happening in terms of resistance and activism. And this is the only place. So please, 212-209-2950. Don't forget to put the 1. It's 1-212-209-2950. Or else you can go online. You can do this at any point. Now is always the best time. My mother always said there's no time like the present. You can go to www.giveGIVE2WBAI.org.
Women of the Young Lords Party. That's the basic premium, $50. $50 for 2 hours.
Yeah. And then add $60, and you get the reprint of Palantes in what's a magazine format. It's called a booklet online, but it's in newsprint.
Can you get me one of those, Jeannie?
I will try to get you one.
I know. I want one, too.
You know, they handed those out. They actually handed an old issue of Palante, a reprint, at the panel of the Women of the Young Lords Party. And I can't find mine.
And you know
I want it.
Everyone wants this. And the fact is, once you have looked at it yourself, you can always share this with someone else. probably everyone listening knows someone who would love to have this wonderful thank you gift.
They were a pivotal group. You know, when Denise Oliver talks about We Were Young Lords 25/7, they had this incredible discipline and dedication. The first page of Palante was a quote of Che Guevara, which says something like, at the risk of seeming corny or sentimental, a revolutionary is guided by great feelings of love.
And
that's what inspired
amazing.
Them.
Amazing. And that's what we're talking about here. Yeah. We're talking about a revolution inspired by love. That's something that's, I think, critical at the base of all of the conversations that we have at this radio station. That's why it's actually hard for us to find people to support us without selling out, right? We can't sell that because if you sell that out, then there's no more revolution, let's just say. And so we need support. We need people who care about the revolution inspired by love.
It's so parallel to BAI, what the Young Lords were doing. You know, they were bringing together personal evolution, political evolution, understanding of imperialism and colonialism. They were international. They had such a huge range, and very much like WBAI, and the range you will hear on WBAI, and also the principle of taking from the past and bringing it into the present and the future is very much what this exhibition is doing, what this premium is doing, and also what WBAI is doing.
And let's just give one reference to, say, like Felipe Luciano, who's now the communications director for Raz Baraka, the mayor of Newark. He was a young lord. He had been brutally, brutally beaten by the police to the point that his mother hadn't even recognized him before the Young Lords had started. He became a part of the Young Lords. He had been incarcerated. And then here, fast forward to the 90s, Giuliani as mayor of New York City. And what happens there, they tapped into, because of the police brutality, especially after Abner Louima, the Haitian gentleman that was brutalized by the police department, a pivotal moment in the 90s amongst, unfortunately, so many, and that continues. But he was invited to actually be a part of this dialogue to communicate with the public and really delve into these issues as that community, some activist, because then he became a journalist, which we know him much more so from TV and radio, on LAB he used to be on. And so this is the history of these amazing folks and what's happened in being active. And then, so if you think you're too radical, even like, you know, the Occupy folks or what you're doing, you know what? It's passion. It's real. And that's how change happens. And that's how things can evolve for you. We have
212-209-2950. You should be calling. You will be very, very happy and very inspired and even electrified by this material.
So we have another clip, do we not? And
yes.
Then we're going to get to Wilson, hopefully on the phone, Valentin Escobar.
Okay. The next clip is also very fiery, and it's by Olgi Robles, who will be talking about the Young Lords taking on the sterilization abuse problem. And she begins by talking about the audience that she is facing at that event.
And while you're listening, please get a copy of this. Get a copy of the entire 2 hours by calling 1-212-209-2950, the Women of the Young Lords panel. Add $10 and you get a copy of Palante.
And you better sit down. This is dynamite.
Well, I want to say thank you all, personally and from, I think, the hearts of all of us up front. Your being here is a validation that the years that we dedicated were not in vain. Your being here also validates that you're hungry for more knowledge, that you want to make a difference, that there's social change that needs to be done. And I think that that is awesome, because for many years I wondered, what did I do all of this for? If we're losing ground, so many areas, if there's so much diversion from the reality for our peoples, I admired the Young Lords because we were international. Although we defended Puerto Rico and Puerto Ricans, it was all inclusive. We fought against machismo and passivity because that was all inclusive. You cannot fight for socialism and you cannot fight for freedom if you are oppressing anyone. Now, sterilization, because I'm looking at the numbers. We have a big group here, and there's a lot of people still waiting to come in. Imagine what it would have been if they had continued to sterilize our people. And they didn't just sterilize in Puerto Rico. They sterilized in 31 states in the United States. Behind this program called eugenics. E-U-G-E-N-I-C, eugenics. That program was sponsored by the government, paid by wealthy businessmen, Procter & Gamble. The Haynes Corporation, those people decided that they needed to have a Betterment of Humanity's League to make sure that they can control the population. Now, if the minority, quote unquote, is the majority, then how do you make sure they stay a minority? Is to make sure there are no more babies. Genocide. Genocide is what was being practiced from 1920 to the late 60s under a Florida law, which was implemented in 31 states. In Puerto Rico, one-third of the women during that period of time were sterilized. Under a lot of bamboozling and lying and conniving. Oh, mija, coge la operación, porque con la operación te sacan el útero, pero te lo pueden reemplazar, te pueden dar un uterus transplant. You go get that operation because you can get a uterine transplant. Hey, honey, we are just going to tie your tubes. Don't worry about it. We can untie them. And you know what happened? 30% of the women in Puerto Rico were sterilized. In America, over 100,000 to 150,000 women each year were being sterilized. I was 17 when I was approached. And I was told, little one, your ovaries are not working very well. Your uterus is not working very well. You should have a hysterectomy. I looked at this 36-year-old doctor, and I said, what if I told you I'd castrate you? He jumped back and grabbed his to protect. Seriously, this is real. He jumped back, grabbed his to protect himself. And I said, that's your reaction at 36. I'm 17 and never had a child. How dare you? I'm not having it. But a lot of people didn't understand the language. A lot of people, Native Americans, African Americans, a lot of people didn't know the truth. I was already in the Young Lords. I joined at 16. I already had knowledge that I needed to arm myself to say, you get castrated. You ain't doing it to me. But people had no idea what they were getting into and what it would mean for their lifetime. Because what happened then is that you got hysterectomy, you marry someone who wanted children, you couldn't give it to them, they leave you because you can't give them children and they want to have their heirs. I want to make sure my wife can provide me children. It broke a lot of women's hearts.
All right, that was Olga Robles talking about sterilization in Puerto Rico, and she goes on to say that abortion was illegal. The church said you shouldn't use contraception, and all that was left was sterilization, and a third of the women of Puerto Rico were sterilized. So these problems go on. We are voting about Planned Parenthood now, trying to take away reproductive rights and justice. And the Young Lords were just so on the mark in every issue. That's, in a way, what's, you know, it's very relevant to get the premium, but it's also frightening that the issues are still there. But it's also very important to understand what came before so we can use it. History for activist use.
So you can get a copy of the full panel discussion that took place up at the Bronx Museum. This is all part of an amazing exhibition spearheaded from the Bronx it's called Presente, the Young Lords in New York, and you can get this full panel. It is called The Women of the Young Lords, and that's a $50 contribution to WBAI. If you had $10 more, you get a copy of what the El Museo de Barrios put together from the publication Palente. And that's for a $60 contribution. You can go to give and then the numeral 2, WBAI.org, and make a pledge. Give and then the numeral 2, WBAI.org, and search Young Lords. If you're calling the call center at 212-209-2950, please tell them whether you want solely Women of the Young Lords panel, or you want the package that includes this publication. And now we actually have on the phone, you're tuned to the morning show.
Yes, this is the morning show on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. That's WBAI.org. And as Jeannie was just letting people know, if you would like to call in with a contribution, you can go to www.give2 WBAI.org, or else you can call 1-212-209-2950. Of course, one of the things that makes this station so special and so important for social change is that we have conversations about groups like the Young Lords. We've talked a lot on this show about Black Lives Matter. We talk about the BDS movement happening around Palestine. We talk about the things that you cannot hear about in any other space. We talk about the things that are left out by mainstream news that are actually really happening, that are actually really important things that are happening, but we don't hear about them in any other space. So your contribution is extremely, extremely important. As you know, the station has been through a lot over the last couple of years. We were basically wiped out by Sandy. We've had to move from City College now most recently. And we are getting it together. We are keeping it together.
We're still here.
And it's we are still here.
It's the 55th anniversary
this
of WBAI.
This is 55 years. There's no one here, perhaps, who is even 55 years old, perhaps. this is a long... I'm being informed that maybe that's not so true, but...
It's the radio.
Yeah, that's okay. We are here. 55 years is a really long time, and the only way that that's happened is because of your support, because of your generous contributions. 1-212-209-2950, and now we have a special guest.
We do. One of the three locations you can enjoy this amazing exhibition is at Loisaida Inc., and they're focusing on the Young Lords founding, which is in the Lower East Side, displaying rarely seen photographs and reportage of the announcement of founding of the Young Lords Party.
1969.
Yeah, in Tompkins Square Park,
That's
June 26th.
Right.
And you'll see the paraphernalia from the Young Lords Lower East Side offices. The exhibition is examining the impact of the Young Lords Gay and Lesbian Caucus. Also focuses on the cultural activism of the Young Lord Eddie Figueroa, who's very much the founder of the New Rican Village, which then became the home to the Pyramid Club on Avenue A. And on the phone, we have the co-curator who had curated the show there at Loisaida Inc., along with Libertad Guerra. And welcome, Wilson Valentin Escobar, to WBAI.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. And just a little on Wilson. He's an associate professor of American Studies and Sociology at Hampshire College, where he teaches courses in critical ethnic American studies, Latin and Puerto Rican studies, cultural studies, arts and social change, and oral history theory and methodology. Welcome again, Wilson.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks.
Give us a little insight into bringing this exhibition together and what is especially unique about the Loi Saida Inc. Exhibition.
Sure. Well, we thought, we all know about, and I've been listening to your program this morning, so it's been great that you're sharing really important information with the public about the various forms of activism that the Young Lords spearheaded within the city. And we know about the success of the breakfast, you know, breakfast programs and so forth, other programs. But there's less known about, literally, about the cultural activism of the Young Lords and sort of and the legacy that they were responsible for leaving the city, the impact that they had on the city in that regard. So what we wanted to do was to bring that forth within the Loi Saida context, the Loi Saida Inc. Center. So, for example, as you mentioned, Eddie Figueroa, who was a former Young Lord, he was an actor. He was an NYU theater student while he was also in the Young Lords. And he was about pretty much engaging in both external change as well as internal change. And in order to engage in internal change, this thing was like, that's what culture is about. We got to celebrate our culture. So, and in order to, quote unquote, create the new man, as you guys referenced before, in order to do that, it was about, and the new woman, you need to engage in cultural practices for that new human subject to occur. So culture and cultural activities was a vital expression for that new person to emerge. So what he did at the New Rican Village, for example, was, which was established in 1976, at, as you mentioned, at 101 Avenue A between 6th and 7th Streets. It was a multi-arts center that brought in various artists, musicians, poets, actors, visual artists, filmmakers, photographers, dancers, yada yada, and they really had them really collaborate with each other, which was a first, and it also engaged in very pro-Puerto Rican, pro-Latino cultural activities. That's one. Two, they saw culture as an instrument for social change. It wasn't an epiphenomenon that would occur after social change. It helped to create social change. So one of the things that they did was, for example, is they collaborated with the late Joseph Papp, who was very instrumental in public arts programming in New York City, and bringing, quote, you know, arts to the people. And so what they did was they collaborated with the public theater, and they create a mobile tour, and which we have some examples of that show. And they go out to various neighborhoods in the city to bring arts to the people. There's one in particular where they're performing in the South Bronx in an empty lot where a building existed where there's just rubble all over the place. And they are able to persuade Joseph Papp to get grass from Yankee Stadium, leftover grass from Yankee Stadium, and have it cover all of the rubble in this vacant lot in the South Bronx. And on that grass and this lot, they actually engage in a performance as part of their mobile tour that they undertook throughout the city. So that was one example in which they were definitely based in the Lower East Side, but they felt compelled through Eddie's vision and his collaboration with the other artists at the New Rican Village to really go out of Loi Saida and really engage with various communities throughout the city.
And now, again, we're speaking with Wilson Valentin Escobar, co-curator for the Presente Young Lords, the part of the show that is at Loi Saida Inc. It's also showing at El Museo de Barrio and up at the Bronx Museum. And now, Wilson, can you also touch on the exhibition in terms of examining the Young Lords Gay and Lesbian Caucus? Wilson?
We may have lost Wilson.
You know what? I want to thank Wilson for being with us. We are tight for time. I think we're going to have to move on, though. Sorry, Wilson, but I'm going to be getting in touch with you for greater conversation. But Wilson also is the author of the book Bodega Surrealism. The emergence of I love that he has the at symbol, because yep. It could be Latino or Latina activists in New York City. It's very clever.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
And much love to Libertad Guerra. And just wanted us to mention that Lois Saida is a small and new community center putting such intense and high end archival exhibitions that meet museum standards. With their little modest budget there on down on the LES, that's 710 East 9th Street between Avenues B and C.
You know, I mean, I have to say, I'm sorry that we lost Wilson, but I have to say that I was really fascinated by some of the things that he was saying, particularly about, you know, understanding culture as an important part of a movement, right? And here we are today, and we've had these different culturally based movements. We've had a lot of sort of, you know, I talk about this a lot on the show. We have a lot of cultural progress, let's say, for particularly African Americans, a group obviously I'm a part of. Maybe listeners don't know that necessarily. And, you know, we're one of the issues that we're talking about and thinking about as activists today is really the extent to which culture can drive a movement, the extent to which that has been, you know, really useful and powerful for movement building and social change, actual change, socioeconomic change, you know, change to capitalism, change to hierarchies of oppression, all of that kind of thing. And so this is a really important conversation that we are actually engaged in here on the air. And we can think collectively about this, you know, coming from that activist, coming from that, you know, place where we know that listeners really care so much about the world that we live in and really want to see these kind of changes.
You know, Fran mentioning Charis.
Yes.
That was a pivotal spot that, you know, carried on this connectivity of culture, arts, community building.
That's right.
I know that's where I did my preparation for being arrested.
Wow.
In a demonstration. That's what
they
used to hold there. How to get arrested, what to be careful of. And that's something I don't know that Occupy, unfortunately, had the chance to do because it just kind of
happened. Had that.
Did you have that?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, great.
We had the mutant legal group that really talked about that. And absolutely.
You know, one of the ways they try to break down a movement is to take away your spaces. And Charas was such a vital space. It was full of kids' artwork from floor to ceiling. All the political meetings were there. When Bush invaded Afghanistan, the place was full of activists. Mm. I was arrested, by the way, at the auction of Charas.
Wow.
And I also organized a community fast in which I had people from Margarita Lopez, the former city councilwoman, to all the Lower East Side activists fasting for a week to draw attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, you know, really...
And what year was that, Fran?
That was 1999.
You know, what's interesting is this last winter I was out in the cold in front of City Hall gathering sound around the latest going on with Charas, with Rosie Mendez, called a press conference on the steps. And it was on Three Kings Day, actually.
Wow. We're still fighting for Charas.
But there is a loophole now that they're working on that she thinks that it could go back to the people because it is yet to be turned into development. The developer that ended up, I think, illegally purchasing it from the city under Giuliani's administration. So do pay attention to the Charas scenario.
It's still a live issue. We do have the New Yorican Poets Cafe.
I was going to say that.
We need to mention that.
We have to mention Pedro Pietri.
Absolutely.
Who is amazing. Yeah. And if you go to our own producer, Ed Morales, who I know you know, Pam, he's on Wednesday nights. 10 to midnight in a music slot, but very much so political and music. There's that cultural and activist twist. He did a great piece that goes really deep into the founder of the Young Lords, Eddie Figueroa. Go to edmorales.net, edmorales.net, and you can look up the piece, Eddie Figueroa and the Puerto Rican Imaginary.
And the Near Rican Imaginary. That's yeah. right. And that's, again, another really important connection mm-hmm. happening here at WBAI. This is really the only place where you can come and find this information. You can listen in your car. You can download the MP3s that are available. You can go through the archives. There's so much that's available for people to really use to develop their thinking, and also finding out about these events, yeah. right? Where else can you find out that this is happening? So the phone number to call is 1-212-209-2950. Today we're offering a thank you gift, and it's the Women of the Young Lords Party. There's two versions. There's one that comes with this incredible archival booklet, and the other one that is the CD that you can listen to, the 2-hour panel. And by the way, the thing
that's
about
a $50 contribution
for a $50 contribution,
the 2-hour panel. Thank that you, took Jeannie. Place in the Bronx.
That's right. And
$60 for yeah. the entire shebang.
You get the 2 hours and the newsprint reprint of Palante.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think that people hear, well, women's group, they think, oh, set some women's auxiliary on the side. No,
I hope they don't think that, Fran.
They'd better not. These women were central. They were yes. pioneers before there was a mainstream feminist movement. As a matter of fact, one of the thrills of getting involved with this material was that I, who do feminist programming on the station, have just discovered that there was a Puerto Rican feminist movement mm-hmm. that I didn't know about. These recordings tell you nothing less than a Puerto Rican feminist movement that is struggling and forging new ground in a rather hostile environment. What you didn't hear Denise Oliver tell you was that when the women tried to meet, they were told by the Central Committee that they could not meet. And they were disciplined for meeting as a women's caucus. They had to do hundreds of push-ups. They got punched in the belly in that karate-like way in their physical education classes. And Denise says, and you can hear that if you order the whole package, she says, we didn't flinch and we kept on meeting. And
so
it was
make
that kind
pledge.
Of struggle.
Make
it was that kind of
right
struggle.
Now. And this is something that's really great to share with your family, share with, to inspire the young ones to be the new Young Lords, let's hope. So Women of the Young Lords Party, you get the CD for a $50 contribution. It's a panel that took place up in the Bronx at the Bronx Museum. That's correct. Part of Presente, the Young Lords in New York exhibition taking place at the Bronx Museum, El Museo de Barrio, and Loisaida Inc. And and I wanted to say also for a $60 contribution, you get a copy of reprints of Palante, which is now also a greater collection of those newspapers put out by the Young Lords that is in the collection, the permanent collection of El Museo de Barrio. And you have a chance to get this reprint that they created.
And you will
which
get that
amazing.
Nowhere else.
Yeah.
And it's really an incredible reprint, actually. I want to just let people know that we were flipping through it, and Jeannie was pointing out that there was even mm-hmm. a solidarity statement in there with Palestine. Yeah. What year was that? That was
in the 70s,
in the
early
70s. You know, yeah. So we need to remember this history. It's so important.
And we need to use this history because, as I said before, we're still dealing with the same issues. And they forged the ground. They were like the pathfinders, you know.
And you know, joining the conversation, we have yet another fellow WBAI producer. This is quite a gathering here on the morning show with Pam.
This is a wonderful gathering. A really exciting gathering.
To have our engineer, Tony Ryan, who also does a show, you know,
Soul
Central
Station. And I can't believe I didn't mention Tony.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Michael G., we're happy that he's getting a break from the morning show, but we miss him dearly already. We've got Fran Luck from The Joy of Resistance.
Multicultural.
Feminist Radio.
Thank you. And yours truly, Jeannie Hopper from Liquid Sound Lounge. And now, Mickey Melendez from Con Sabor Latino, which you hear on Sundays in the late afternoon. Welcome, Mickey.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning. Have you been listening, Mickey?
Am I putting
you on the
spot? Yes, I have.
Oh, good.
I have.
Good.
It was so wonderful to hear the eloquent voice of Olga Robles again. She's been that passionate for the last 45 years.
Wow. I just met her and I'm in love.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about Mickey. You are a young lord. I'm going to say you are because I don't think it ever leaves your DNA.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little about your experience and what that time was like.
You know, it was, for many of us, it was, you know, the best times of our lives, the scary times of our lives. You know, many of us, for many of us, it was really part of discovering who we were in this country. We were disconnected from our history. We were first generation Puerto Ricans born, raised, and educated in this country. And because of the Black movement and the Black civil rights movement, you know, other people of color through this country went through the same process of reaffirming themselves, as going back to history. You know, you have the Chicano Mexican movement in the West Coast and the Brown Berets, and Crusade for Justice. You have AIM, the American Indian movement. You even had the Young Patriots, which were young white Appalachians with a southern draw from here to Tennessee, but were anti-imperialist and anti-racist. You had Asian people, young Asian people. So for us, we were just part of this tremendous movement. In addition to which, we were also part of the youth cultural movement that was going on in the United States. So for us, it was trying to define, you know, who we were. And when we got into our history, we just really decided that we wanted to be revolutionary nationalists in the tradition of struggle, for sovereignty, for independence, of our country. And then connected with other people in other countries that were in the same process. I think someone mentioned there that the founding was June 26th. It was actually July 26th. Mm-hmm. And that was our connection with the Cuban Revolution.
Gotcha.
It was a celebration of July 26th, which was the attack of Moncada, which is really the beginning of the Cuban Revolution in Cuba. That we came public, we came out, so to speak, in New York City as young lords. Then, you know, we went into our communities, went to people, tried to find out what people's needs and aspirations were. You know, we were ready to take state power. They wanted the garbage clean. And I think that throughout all our readings and things like that, one of the things that we really kept in mind was about go to the people. You know, regardless of what you think people need, go to the people and find out what they need, what they want, what their aspirations are, what their perceptions are. So when we go, you know, and one of the big things, the early things that we did was the garbage offensive, which was to clean up. And in our community, you know, garbage is, you know, you go to Park Avenue, it's a matter of aesthetics. In our community, it really becomes a health issue when in the summer garbage isn't picked up for days and days and days.
Mickey, that aspect is actually highlighted in the part of the exhibition that is at El Museo.
Mm-hmm.
And so continue. It's a great story where the young lords
issue. Just an aside about El Museo is that the photographs at El Museo are the work of the artist, the photographer Hiram Maristany, who is the official photographer of the Young Lords and the Young Lords himself, who's recently been recognized by the Smithsonian Institute in Washington. And he did a great job. I mean, many of us didn't understand, you know, what he was doing. We are so glad that he did what he did 45 years ago, because we have images now of that history. So, you know, from the garbage, we went on to healthcare, you know, to deal with lead poisoning, which is still an issue in our community, and TB testing to take over the TB truck. You know, one of the things I think that we were able to do, and I don't think that it's such a big jump, that many of the leadership of the Young Lords eventually went into media. You know, Denise Oliver went into media. Felipe Luciano has two Emmys working in media. Pablo Guzman, Juan Gonzalez, of course, a poet. Award winner and a Pulitzer Prize winner. I've been in BAI since 82. So it's understanding, you know, the role of mass media. And one of the things I think that we were able to do was kind of embarrass government, you know, and that's why a lot of times we were called the, you know, darlings of the media. I mean, when we take over Lincoln Hospital for the establishment of a drug program, because right in the Mott Haven area of Lincoln Hospital, one out of every four person was addicted to heroin, and there were no services in the Bronx, ambulatory or inpatient. So when we take it, how can you fight? I mean, what's the blowback on that? Everything about it is good, you know.
Mickey, we're getting tight for time, and but thank you so much. We're going to ask people for their support for WBAI, which I know you're no stranger to.
Right. Please do. I mean, it's you know, the two hour audio is phenomenal. There is information there that you really need to listen to it a couple of times to really get the breadth of what it was. I mean, Augie in this short segment, you know, just, you know, revealed a number of things I'm sure that a lot of people really didn't know. You know, the Palante thing is a visual of the Michael Abramson piece of the Palante journal that he did. So, I mean, whichever premium you get or to get the whole package, you really need to support, because, I mean, it's understanding a history of a particular people important to the city, and it's also supporting BAI that has opened its doors throughout the years to different communities and different people of this city.
Yeah, right, for 55 years. You know, yes. I on the New York Times today and yesterday, the lead article is that Puerto Rico is facing a huge health care crisis where the whole system is falling apart. And even though the Times says, well, this is because we didn't give them enough funding, they admit that. The real story, which you'll hear on WBAI, is that this goes back to 1898, right? Right? Aren't I right, Nigel?
Absolutely. We're a colony. It's the economics of a colony.
I mean,
and this was predicted by Rubén Berrios, the former president of the Puerto Rican Independence Party, in 1974. He predicted this collapse.
Right. So Mickey, I know we're going to be working with you. You're going to be putting together a greater panel and discussion on this very history kind of perspective of what's happening with the economy in Puerto Rico. But for now, please make a pledge, folks. Women of the Young Lords Party is what you're asking for. This amazing panel that took place up at the Bronx Museum for $50 contribution to WBAI tax deductible. Get the package, and you also have this amazing journal. I like that name the best. We were fighting to find the right word of Palante. And that's $60 contribution, and you get the panel discussion, which is a two-hour discussion.
Of people tearing down the house with their joy and their cheering and the great information. It's an exciting listen.
And the number to call is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950, and make that pledge. You can just simply make a favorite show donation of any amount as well when you call and say you support the Tuesday morning show.
And, you know, we should mention the WBAI Buddy program as well, because, you know, many of us may or may not have $50 or $60 right now to give. Hopefully most of you do. But if not, you could give, you know, $10 a month, something like that,
and
become a sustaining supporter, right?
When you make a pledge to WBAI, you are saying to us, presente. You are saying that you are present. You are present in that same vital sense that people use that politically, that people use that even for people we've lost who are still with us. You know, it's a tremendous statement to say presente. Make that statement to WBAI. We make it to you all the time. We are there on the cusp of things.
And again, this show is put on by volunteers every day. What that means is that people have to get here by 5:30 a.m. That is a volunteer. People are doing that as volunteers,
Right. And all that we're asking for is for you to make a phone call, to give a little bit of support, to support the show, to support the station, to support the community, to support the project. And the phone number is 1-212-209-2950.
Community Radio.
Community Radio. And as a thank you gift, today we are offering two options, two premiums, Women of the Young Lords Party, and that is a CD, that is a two-hour panel that will give you a lot of inspiration and also provide you with an amazing gift to give someone else. Perhaps it's somebody younger, perhaps it's someone who doesn't know this history, to share this important history so that we can think towards a future, how did you put it, Fran, of revolutionary love, something like this, right? I can't quite remember, but so that we can think towards a brighter future for us all, for all humanity. And for the $60, for a $60 contribution, you will also, in addition to the CD, you will also get the journal that is archival, that is incredible, that you will have in your apartment, perhaps on your coffee table, or maybe you will put it in your backpack and bring it around the city with you to show others. But it is certainly something that is worth well more than $60, even much less the $10 differential between just getting the CD and getting the CD.
Democracy
and the
Now,
journal.
We've only got literally 1 minute left because Democracy Now! Is up next. Go check out these exhibitions. Presente, the Young Lords in New York, at the Bronx Museum. Go to bronxmuseum.org. At El Museo de Barrio, go to elmuseo.org. Or Loisada Inc., go to loisada.org. And thank you so much, Mickey. Oh, he left us. Thanks, Mickey.
Thank you. Thank you for having. Right. Thank you for having. I'm still here.
What? And thanks so much to Wilson Escobar.
And thank you so much
to
our wonderful listeners. Thank you for listening once again to The Morning Show on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. With typically with Pam Brown, who is myself, and today with Jeannie Hopper. With Fran Lugg, and also, who I've forgotten all morning, with our wonderful engineer, Tony Ryan, who is stepping in to fill in for Michael G. Haskins.
Right.
Thank you so much, Tony.
And listen to Joy of Resistance, Thursdays, 9 to 10 p.m.
And do support.
Cutting
Go
edge.
To give2wbai.org or call 212-209-2950. Make that pledge.